Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Three and Out Show. I'm Kyle Reams today. As always, I'm joined by Jadav Pant.
What's up, guys?
And Alex Amster.
Shabbat Shalom.
So welcome back. We are here to talk about NFL, about week three, week four, maybe some awards as well. But first, let's start with the big elephant in the room, the titan in the room, the Titans.
Right. You know, it's
seven players at this point. Seven players and six organizational members.
Adam Humphries, that's COVID, I think, was one.
Daquan Jones, the only two I know. Kamala Correa. That's it.
Christian Fulton as well.
Second
corner.
Hey, as long as it's not Derrick Henry, I'm good to go.
You know, I think, and this is something that, you know, we've discussed for a while. You know, we saw in baseball when you don't have the bubble. You know, I read an interesting article from Dan Graziano on ESPN. Like, it's just inevitable. Cases are going to happen. It's really up to how the NFL responds, their contact tracing, and how well they can adjust the schedule. And obviously, this one was easy because they kind of flipped around the bye weeks for the Ravens, and now the Steelers and Ravens are playing, and I think week eight. And so it wasn't too bad. But you know, I think the NFL had a good response, but it is a little concerning that it is reliant on player discipline, because in this case, you know, the Titans didn't do great. I saw the Raiders had an indoor charity event. Darren Waller was there. Derek Carr was there inside. Many people, no masks. So I'm a little concerned, to be honest.
Yeah, it's definitely a little concerning just how quickly it happened. Like, if it was one player, it'd be different. Then they have, it's like seven and then six organization members. That's a significant number of people. And then you have to do the contact tracing with all the Vikings players. You can't let them practice this week. Potentially screws the Steelers. So it's just overall not a great position for the NFL to be in. I don't know how they could have done any better. But I think given the circumstances, they treated as well as they could.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously we're seeing in baseball right now, what is it? It's been like a 40-day streak, I think. No positive tests in the MLB.
Now, baseball's kind of in a bubble now. They have, like, playoff bubble going.
Yeah, still, I just think it's, like, there is some, like, I think there's no reason to panic. It's, like, I think as an NFL fan to think the season's even close to being over. But, you know, it'll be interesting to track. I mean, I don't think they're going to be the only team to get COVID. It would be funny if they were the only team to get COVID.
I would love it if they were the only team to get COVID.
Yeah, we'd all love it, but I think realistically, there's going to be another team.
Right. I mean, you know, it might be a little off topic, but, you know, the president of the United States just got COVID, and he's in, you know, arguably a safer bubble than what the NFL has in place. You know, I'm not sure the specifics of it, but it just goes to show it does spread really rapidly. So one thing to watch, but, you know, luckily we still have all our other slated games this weekend.
Yes. Thank God we still have basically every game. But then let's move on to some of the games from last week. We're not going to go over every one of them, but we're going to start with some of the ones we thought were interesting to talk about, beginning with Falcons-Bears, where, first of all, I can't imagine the pain of being a Falcons fan. It just seems like an awful existence.
I think we're turning into an anti-Falcons podcast on default.
How could you not be after watching the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's one thing. I always say this as a joke, but you know, when a good team lets a bad team get a big lead on them, just so they can come back and win, just to make the loss worse. You know what I mean? I said it like jokingly in the Chiefs Chargers game in week two, but that's really what this is like. And Atlanta actually might be the better team in a lot of these cases. So it's especially frustrating. They just find ways to make, you know, mental errors in the fourth quarter. You know, whether it's defensively collapsing or obviously on special teams, it's really like, I don't know if you can pin it on anyone else but Dan Quinn at this point.
It's there's nobody else who could potentially take blame when it's so universal, when you do have all of this proven talent on this team.
Also, like, what a disappointment, because their schedule is, like, honestly very easy. I'm looking through it right now, even though they're in, like, a tougher division. Because I think what they finished, what, third place last year, right? They were the third place team. So they're playing a third place schedule. This, besides like maybe a couple games, like they could have had a really good record this year if they you know, played like the Atlanta Falcons we were used to seeing a couple of years ago. But
right, honestly, I mean, their roster too. Like, you can just look at their roster, and that's not doesn't look like an 0-3 team. Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan. I'm pretty sure everyone that starts an offense is a first round pick.
This is going to be an over exaggeration, but they are kind of close to the Chiefs roster. I'm going to say it. They are kind of close to in terms of Chiefs offense.
Other than Mahomes to Matt Ryan drop, I would rather have the Falcons offense.
Right. I think the only thing too is the Kelce to Hayden Hurst.
But other than that, I would take.
But having Calvin Ridley as your wide receiver too.
Tyreek is a toss up. Calvin Ridley is better than Sammy Watkins or DeMarcus Robinson or Mecole Hardman. Russell Gage is also really good all of a sudden. Todd Gurley is still talented. Ito Smith, he's still on the team?
Yeah.
He's good.
Brian Hill.
They have a good O-line. Like, this team has no excuses to be as bad as they are, except for Dan Quinn.
Right, and he's a defensive, you know, head coach hired from Seattle in the Legion of Boom days, and their defense has been deficient now for years. So it's, you know, Arthur Blank, I know he's known as a conservative owner, but, you know, come on. The clock is ticking. Atlanta, you got to make this stop. You know, your fan, you have great fans, but
– new stadium also, like
– all right, and then on to the next game we got. We're going to talk about this one pretty quickly. 49ers at Giants. I think the main takeaway from this game is MetLife needs to fix their turf, honestly. What's up with that?
Tank for Trevor.
Well, the Giants suck. We all knew that.
Tank for Trevor. I know you want him, Alex.
The 49ers D-League team just whooped the Giants. So.
Right. Listen, I'm not surprised here. You know, Kyle Shanahan's a good head coach. And when you're playing against a bad team like the Giants, you know, a bad defense, you know, it's like a hot knife through, you know, butter. It's just, that's what's going to happen. And they're, you know, the running backs, McKinnon and Wilson Jr., you know, they got a great game plan to get them involved. So this really didn't surprise me. It is a little bit, you know, concerning how the Giants offensive line has progressed. I know the 49ers defense, as banged up as they are, is still, you know, I'd say an above average defense, but it still was an inexcusable performance from the Giants. I don't know how many games they could win. You know what I mean? So it's not looking great for them this season. And, you know, the 49ers are 2-1 and they're getting Debo Samuel back. You know, they're getting some of these guys back, Kittle back. Kittle. So
they're still down their top two running backs.
Right. I mean, they're nowhere from out of it. This was still a really good, I know the Giants aren't great, but it's still, you know, a great performance considering the circumstances.
And then next we got Eagles, Bengals. This one's just funny.
I'm just gonna quote President Donald Trump here. Bad things happen in Philadelphia. You know, I'm not saying I do support the president, but I'm just quoting him from this recent debate, and he is not wrong about that statement. Bad things do happen in Philadelphia. Speaking of that, you know, Jake Elliott, I was having like kind of a nostalgia for a super long game winning field goal in overtime. Next thing you know, Doug Peterson's undisciplined squad. Boom, false start, out of field goal range. Let's just concede the game, just punt the ball. You know what I mean? It's just, played a bad Bengals team, and they tied them. The Eagles aren't good. I've been saying this for years that this team, with Carson Wentz as a starter, is below average, and it's really continuing to show how right I am. I hate to toot my own horn, but I am going to for this situation.
No, that's just a lie. That's a straight-up lie. I don't know what.
I mean, Jalen's getting the start, right? No, that was Bennett's name. That was Bennett's fake meme. I can't believe Bennett fell for that.
And then next we got Raiders, Pats. Thank God the Pats blew.
Great weekend. Patriots got a win. I took vengeance on Kyle's tie. I made up for Kyle's tie.
Let's talk about some fantasy just for a quick minute. I don't know if any of you guys remember Alex during last week's episode. He was quite confident that everybody on my team would have a down week. And if I remember correctly, the final score was 190 for me to 120 or so.
It was like 130. It was near there.
Alex is tanking for the number one pick.
Per usual, my bench put up around like 90 points. You know, when I put a player on my bench on my team, it's like, bam, two times as likely to have that boom game that IBM Watson predicts. So what can I say? Like,
maybe you should start the right players.
Yeah, but going to the Pats, I mean,
you know,
We just look good, man. We just look really good.
They didn't even need Cam. Like, you know, they just ran right through the Raiders. And what's so versatile about this team is, you know, Cam can also run the ball too. So you add that another dimension to the already, you know, dangerous run attack. And it goes to show how, you know, well coached the Patriots are. They change their identity every week. They threw what, like 35 times or something like that against Seattle. Next thing you know, Cam Newton has probably like, I know he had under 30 passing attempts and they ran the ball basically the whole game. They can shift their identity to a respective matchup. And I really respect that from Belichick.
And I mean, it always comes from the random, most random players. You got Rex Burkhead, who's the eighth version of the same player on the Patriots.
Danny Woodhead. I mean, it's he's him reincarcerated.
Reincarnated?
Oh. Reincarnated. He is Danny Woodhead reincarnated.
Reincarcerated him and threw him back. And the Raiders look bad again. Thank God. I need the Raiders to be bad. And then next we got Cowboys, Seahawks. This is a good game. This is a very good game, actually. DK with the greatest moment of the season so far when he pulled. It was a combination. You remember when, obviously you guys remember DeSean Jackson dropping it at the one, but then you remember when Sammy Watkins started showboating?
Right. It was a little bit of both where he wasn't fully down. Showboating, but he thought he was going to score on the fact he didn't have the ball tucked in and he slowed down. It's just like, DK, I know you still won. You had the game-winning touchdown, but, you know, come on, man. That's my come on, man segment for the week.
Oh, man, if only – you know, that wouldn't have happened if he ran a better three-cone drill. If he ran a better three-cone
drill. I just want to go back to our old podcast episodes, the Combine clickbait.
Yeah, Jadav, I mean, they you know, early celebrations, that should be a new drill at the Combine. You know what I mean? That the Seahawks definitely got scammed with that Metcalf pick. Like,
hey, that's that Wonderlic test for you right there, baby. Didn't he get an 11 on his Wonderlic? That's where it plays in.
Yeah, I think they need to test everyone else in the Wonderlic. You know, Bill Belichick would be licking his chops, getting all those super intelligent players.
Honestly, though, that'd be awesome. Bill Belichick only fields a team of above 30s on the Wonderlic. But the Russell Wilson is playing crazy football right now. He looks like the best player in the league. Sorry to Patrick Mahomes, but Russell Wilson is having one of the best starts to any season I've ever seen. He's what? 500 yards in back-to-back or 400 yards in back-to-back.
Right, I think he set an NFL record for like 14 touchdown passes in the first three games. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think that's an NFL record, yeah.
It was 13 or 14,
like,
but
you can argue he's in his own tier, honestly. Like, I honestly think he could be in his own tier right now. Based off this season, I think maybe based off like other years, maybe not, but right now he's in his own tier as the best quarterback in the league. I don't think it's close.
I'm happy they're finally letting him cook. And then for the Cowboys side, I saw some stat over the weekend, which has actually now been false. It's been not false. It's been disproven because the stat was, as of week three, the only teams in the NFL without a rush of 15 or more yards were the Jets and the Cowboys. And then last night, Thursday Night Football, Sam Darnold got a 45-yard rush. So the Cowboys and the best running back in the league, Ezekiel Elliott, are the only team without a 15-yard rush.
So, you know, it's analytical, right? I mean, I think Mike McCarthy made some good decisions there. You know, there's a key fourth down he went for around midfield that increased their win probability by like around 5%. I think it was actually it resulted in a touchdown that drive. I don't know if it's BS, his offseason interviews with Pro Football Focus saying, you know, he's put more analytics in his coaching game, but he made some good decisions there. I think when you're playing a team like Seattle and they're sending guys, you know, in the box every play, you got to abandon the run a little bit. You know, it doesn't matter who your running back is. And their offense was in, you know, nowhere near deficient this game. It was really on the Cowboys secondary, which is really, really weak right now. Daryl Worley, you know, they converted him from safety over to corner. Awuzie, I know, is on IR, and Trayvon Diggs is really struggling. So, the Cowboys' defense really is missing Byron Jones here.
And one other stat relevant to Zeke I'd like to bring out, he's averaging less than 4 yards per carry and per catch, or per target, I mean. So he has been incredibly inefficient this year.
Right. Well, you can make the argument. You know what was a crazy stat that I saw today? Like Alvin Kamara's depth of target, he is like fifth in the league in receiving yards. And his like average depth of target is like -0.1 yards.
Oh, I love the stat. There was a stat that came out last year where it's like if you removed run after catch for running backs, like who has the most yards, and Christian McCaffrey had like -600 yards or something crazy like that.
Right. I mean, it's you know, running backs a lot of the times in some of these offenses, the quarterback, it's the third or fourth option. They're sitting there in the backfield, and sometimes they can make magic happen. Sometimes they can't, which is why those stats can, you know, sometimes be misleading. But, you know, Zeke hasn't had one of those signature performances that we've seen. So, you know, if they imposed their will in Seattle, controlled the clock and ran the ball, kept the ball out of Russell's hands, it could have been a different game. But they, like I said, they had to abandon the run just because they got behind early.
And then on to the next game, we got Packers versus Saints. We just talked about one MVP candidate on to probably second place right now. Aaron Rodgers looks like vintage Aaron Rodgers right now. I mean, everyone's been saying he's been done for the past 3 years. Every year, they're like, oh, this is it. He's done.
But he just looks pissed off. I don't know.
He looks annoyed.
And, I mean, listen, we talked about this before, but they're a legit team. They're a legit team. Maybe the best in the NFC right now. I don't want to say it completely, but I can totally see them making it far, maybe even making the Super Bowl right now. I don't even know how they're making this work. I mean, Lazard, I mean, insert the Lazard jokes from Kyle, but
I love
Rodgers is making it happen.
Greatest trade of all time.
Right. You know, right now for me, I mean, there's two tiers in the NFC. I mean, there's two teams at the top of the tier one list for me, excuse me. And that would be Seattle and Green Bay. And, you know, I think what separates Green Bay is defensively, they're very strong. And honestly, they can string it together. Adams gets healthy. Rodgers plays like this. You know, who knows what's stopping this team? I mean, transitioning to the Saints, like, they're out, you know, before the season, they're in that tier one. And, you know, maybe if they get Michael Thomas back, things will change for Drew Brees. But he's not looking amazing. Like, Alvin Kamara was ridiculous on Sunday night. And they still couldn't win.
Yeah, and kind of building off your point, you're saying how the Seahawks and the Packers are obviously, like, in your opinion, the two top teams in the NFC. That also just shows you, in my opinion, how wide open the NFC is. I mean, a team like the Buccaneers can definitely, like, come back into the mix later on in the year once they find their rhythm. I mean, with a strong defense, like the Buccaneers defense currently is playing, like, they can easily be back into this mix because that is going to be a weakness of the other teams, in my opinion, the Packers and the Seahawks.
In general, too, you brought up a really, really good point. Like, defensively, there's not a lot of great teams in the NFC. If you look roster to roster, you know, AFC, you obviously have the Ravens and the Patriots who are really strong on that side of the ball. You can highlight those two teams. In the NFC, there's no real front runner for a dominating defense, which opens things up, like you said.
Yeah. I have a crazy little stat for you guys here to bring up. So this is through the first three games of the season. Team one, it's like a blind resume kind of thing. Team one has 39 points per game. Team two has 40.7. 885 pass yards to 864. 310 rush yards to 515. 74 first downs to 81. And then one turnover to zero. And that's the 2018 Chiefs versus the 2020 Packers. So that just goes to show how crazy this Packers offense is, to the point where they have almost the exact same amount of passing yards, but 200 more rush yards than that Chiefs offense that people were saying is the greatest of all time.
Right. And to put in context, that's the 2018 Mahomes MVP season, his first year as a starter.
That's in the Kareem Hunt 2018 Chiefs.
Right. Right.
So crazy stuff there. And then last game from the week three ones we're going to talk about is Chiefs-Ravens, a little Yom Kippur game for us Monday night. Chiefs dominated. Like, the Ravens made it close at points, but it was almost never in doubt.
Right, and I think, you know, J-Dub was really props to him. He was the only one that actually picked the Chiefs to win, you know, here. Although Kyle and I did say, you know, the Ravens, if they can't get going, and I mean, J-Dub highlighted this really well, obviously, as he picked the Chiefs to win, obviously, but now we really do know. It showed in the Lamar's rookie year against the Chargers in the playoff game. It showed last year in the playoffs against the Titans. When you get up and ahead, against these Ravens, you force them to score points and not play at their own slow running pace, then football they're not a team. Great team just playing from behind in general. You know, I think Steve Spagnuolo did a fantastic job about sending pressure to Lamar instead of letting Lamar sit in the pocket and the defense reading and reacting, actually sending pressure to him and having him, you know, scramble out 10 yards, you know, deep in the pocket and just make mistakes. And that's really kind of what happened.
Right.
I mean, the Ravens were also, they just weren't playing Raven football. I mean, the amount of mistakes I saw on the offensive end were ridiculous. I mean, they were definitely hurting themselves that game. I mean, especially the way this season's going to go, you know, that game was very important. Like, they could look down later as this one being the one that got away.
Right. I mean, the Ravens really just beat up on, you know, average to a below average team. So when they play those elite rosters, you know, they start to have some real holes that you can see, especially on national TV.
I feel like we got to address the Harbaugh mask. Harbaugh mask, non-fine. I think he got fined also.
Whatever. But I'm just going to say, transitively, as a fact, the Chargers are better than the Ravens. So take from that what you will. And now moving on, we have something a little different now. We're going to talk about some awards. We've talked a little bit about MVP. Maybe since we've already discussed it, we can just each give who we think is going to win. Right now, obviously, the front runner is Russell Wilson. And I'm going to stick with that because just as much as the MVP is a statistical and playing award, it's a story award. And Russell Wilson has never won an MVP. And I think that they're going to want to change that this year.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, hands down. You know, you can't really make any argument otherwise at this moment.
Yeah, it's Russell. He's cooking. He's got to be the MVP.
Yeah. And then next we have Coach of the Year. This is an interesting one. This is a very interesting one. Obviously, the LeBron answer is to just say Belichick. And he probably deserves it. I mean, they lost a lot of talent on this team, and he's still coaching them so well.
He's a play away from being 3-0.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go Dollar here, though. Ball. You know, I have two options in my head right now, but I think I'm leaning towards, you know, this one right here. I'm going to go with Matt LaFleur. I think the Packers ran the ball a lot last year, but I think they really, you know, and Chris Collinsworth was talking about it, funny enough, whether it's true or not, you know, we're sitting in the Zoom meeting, but hours and hours of Matt LaFleur and his staff discussing offensive plays and how they can expand the playbook with Aaron Rodgers during the quarantine. And, you know, he's really helping Rodgers in the fact that he, you know, he's creating great route concepts. He's not forcing the run, and really, like, these receivers have drastically improved. So I'd say LaFleur has done a fantastic job in rejuvenating Rodgers, you know, especially off the fact he didn't do much last season.
Right.
I try not to be biased, but I got to give it to Dollar Bill right now. I mean, he is God. I don't even know how to 2-1, and I'm a Patriots fan. We're a play away from being 3-0. And, you know, he did a lot this year. And not only did he have to deal with the quarterback change, but he had to deal with a lot of his players opting out. A lot of key guys, a lot of leaders on that defensive end left. And the fact that they are still, as Anster said, he associated them with still being a top defense in the AFC. That's impressive.
All right. It is crazy. I'm really not sure. I mean, I think it probably will end up going to LaFleur just because it's always, like, biggest surprise. But I'm going to throw out another name out there, Sean McDermott, for the Bills, because I mean, they're
Are you assuming they win the AFC? Is that, like, your assumption?
If they win the AFC
East.
Yeah,
right. If they win the AFC East, I think he gets it, just because.
I mean, he would have taken down the dynasty. Exactly. I would.
And then next, you
could also throw, I know you want to transition, but just a bone to throw, you know, depending on how the 49ers do, Kyle Shanahan could be in that conversation, you know, playing through all these injuries. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. But that's one that you could possibly, you know, throw in the bunch.
And another one I was thinking was potentially Vrabel, just because there's not a lot of talent on this team, and they're 3-0. But they are in the weakest division, so. And then next, we got Rookie of the Years. I don't know the plural for that one. Defensive Rookie of the Year. Let's start with that one. Chase Young has looked amazing so far. He's hurt, but he's still looking really good. Who else? CJ
Henderson. I think Jeff Okuda. He had a fantastic game at Arizona last week. He had a great pick, and he was
I just feel like this is like a hard, that was his debut. This is a hard award to just like assess right now. You know what I mean?
CJ Henderson had it after week one, I think, but he's really stepped down. And Okuda, considering his first two games were against Devontae Adams and DeAndre.
I don't think he played week one, though. I think he was.
He didn't play week one, but he played week two, which is when they played the Packers, and then he played week three, which is when he played the Cardinals. So that's two top three receivers right there that he played in his first two career games. And he played really well. So I think that's one. If Chase Young can come back healthy, I think he can potentially get it. And then obviously if you have like Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray get like 130 tackles or something crazy, then they might be able to get it.
The offensive story is way more interesting.
Yeah, that's why I saved it for a second. So offensive rookie of the year right now seems to be – there's like three, I would say. You have the quarterbacks. You have Burrow and Herbert, and then James Robinson.
You're not going to – no Hilaire, no Jonathan Taylor.
CeeDee Lamb. You know, there's a lot of options here.
I think CeeDee I need to see a little more from.
CeeDee I need to see a little more.
Same with Justin Jefferson, Jerry Jeudy, those wide receivers.
I think right now, and this is just generally how it is, you saw with Kyler Murray, like I have a overwhelming feeling that Joe Burrow will get the award. He will have some, you know, I think.
The reason I said those three is I think those are going to be the top three because Burrow and Herbert, you have the QB thing. And then James Robinson, you have the undrafted thing.
I think Robinson, though, it depends. He has a lot of steam right now. And, you know, I don't know how – he doesn't have a big name. Sometimes this award is a little bit about the name. I don't know if that stands up. Hilaire, you know, might be able to consistently outproduce him for the rest of the season. So we kind of just have to see here. Yeah. But, yeah, I do agree. I mean, Herbert, like, I'm happy to include him in the conversation, although his play wasn't great, last week. But it's a question of whether Tyrod Taylor comes back in and starts.
That is true. If Anthony Lynn decides to go back to Tyrod, then he loses a lot of momentum there.
But I have a feeling
third rookie of all time with two 300-yard games in a row to start his career.
Stop gassing Herbert, man. Like,
that's a state. It's him, Kyler, and Cam. That's just a fact.
Yeah, you know, I saw a play, though, where Trey Boston should have had a red zone pick six last week. You know, there's ups and downs. But, you know, I'm happy to sing Herbert's praise, you know, if he can lead this team. Because this is still a really good roster to, like, eight or more wins.
I have a feeling, like, if the Chiefs go far, which, like, we all probably think they are, and, like, I think in the playoffs, like, Edwards-Helaire can have, like, one breakout game, and people are going to be like, how did we, like, leave this guy out of the debate? I don't think he's going to win, but I think that's going to happen. It's just a fact.
Right. You know, he's really – the first week of the season in primetime, you know, the announcers were gushing over him. I could see it, so.
And then next we got the biggest surprise team. I'm not counting the Bears because they're still not good.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is positive surprise. So I'm going to go with the Bills. Just because. Same. I mean, they were always going to be, like, good, but – I didn't expect Stephon Diggs to make this much of an impact this early. I didn't think Josh Allen would look this good. They kind of blew the lead, but they still won. But they were destroying the Rams for the majority of that game.
Right.
Really good this year.
I'm going to go with the Packers. I had written them out after last year. I didn't think Aaron had it in them, and now they're – arguably the best team in the NFC, so I know.
Yeah, you know, I have to go with the Bills right now, although I will say, you know, they've had a light schedule. I know the Rams are a really good team, but on the road,
I'll give it to the Bills if they beat New England.
It's so I think a team that could be a dark horse is, like, biggest surprise is the Colts. I know they had a disappointing performance week one, but they've rebounded well, you know, beating Minnesota and then winning again last week. There's Phillip Rivers, so I don't know how good they're going to be. I'm sure you know firsthand, Kyle, but if they can – I feel like that's a team that can win that division. That's not, you know.
It's definitely not out of the question considering how bad that division is. And then we got the inverse. We got the biggest disappointment. I think – honestly, I think we're all going to be in agreement on this one. It's got to be the Vikings.
Oh, I was going to say the Falcons, but yeah, I mean,
I'm going with the Vikings.
The Vikings, that is also understandable.
The Vikings genuinely look like the worst team in the league on a week-to-week basis.
Well, I mean, listen, if people consider the Titans like a good team, and they played them close. I think the Vikings' issue is, you know, they lack an elite quarterback, and when their defense is not playing at a high level, you can't run the ball like that. It's just like the same – they're similar to the Browns, honestly, with Stefanski, where it's like if they can get the run game going, you know, they can probably win the game against a bad team. But when you play good teams, you know – we'll wait and see. I mean, they played Indianapolis and Green Bay and Tennessee. You'd expect them to win. If you told me before the season those three matchups, I'd say they'd be like 2-1 or 1-2.
I wanted to throw another one out there. The Eagles. I know Alex always expects them to be bad.
But right. Wentz has really looked awful.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not really too surprised there. So like, I can't put that there, but I could see how.
You can empathize.
Someone from the naked eye who doesn't focus as much on Philadelphia might think, you know, they might be decent. Lewis Riddick just says on ESPN every year, Carson Wentz going to win MVP, breakout year. And then, you know, a couple injuries later and they're back on the excuse wagon. Oh, he doesn't have receivers. His line isn't healthy. They kind of have to pick and choose. And
personally, as a Carson Wentz defender in the past, as someone who I think he was good and I think he still has talent, he's looked so bad this year.
I mean, even Collins going after him. That's when you know it's bad.
He's a backwards hat kind of guy. What can Collins say? And then next, who is winning the tank off right now? I think it's the Giants, right?
I'm going with the Jets. I mean,
yeah. How do you say the Giants? Because I'm genuinely rooting for the Giants. But after last night, it's tough. If you look at the Jets next five games, it looks like they're going 0-9.
I don't see who they beat.
To be fair, the Giants are guaranteed 0-5 before we play the football team. We're playing, obviously, at the Rams next weekend, and then we play at the Cowboys. I'm just, you know, it really depends down the stretch. There's two matchups in a row that the Jets play Miami. If they can split that series, I'd say maybe and pull out a win somewhere else. I know Darnold might miss time, which doesn't help their cause. I'm worried about the Giants picking up a win maybe at the Bengals or in the series against the Redskins. And there's never been a more consequential year as far as losses, because whether you want to ditch your quarterback or not for Trevor Lawrence, he will demand a ridiculous amount of draft capital to get to that spot.
Even if hypothetically, let's say the Giants get the first pick and they say they still are sticking with Daniel
which Jones, would be very stupid.
It would be dumb, but they could get the most draft picks of all time for that.
Well, that's
I think they could get three or four first rounders. Like, If a team was really sold on Lawrence, which I'm sure there would be one.
Right. But like looking at the Jets schedule, I truly don't see how this team wins. Like at least the Giants have some sort of.
I mean, they can steal one from Miami, maybe.
I think they can. They could. If the Chargers are the Chargers, it's definitely possible. But like the thing with this Giants team is, I don't know why, but for some reason, part of me feels like, yeah, they could steal a win probably.
Especially in that division, they can.
I just don't think the Jets have any potential to do so.
Well, the issue is the Giants have talent. It's just their offensive line sucks, and they have talent at the wrong positions. Instead of having good offensive line, they have a decent group of skill position players. Instead of having good pass rush, they have like 5 300-pound run stuffing guys in an all-time passing league, and it reflects on Dave Gettleman badly. But they can beat really, really bad teams sometimes. It used to be that way, at least for the last 2 years. Now, I don't know, but I'm worried that we're going to lose out in the sweepstakes.
I'm just going to throw out a hypothetical here because I saw it on ESPN this morning. But let's say the Jets do get the number one pick. They've traded Darnold out because they're going to do that. And Trevor has the option to stay and get drafted by the Jets.
Or pull an Eli.
I think that Trevor says to the Jets, he says, if you fire Adam Gase, I will commit to the draft. If you keep Adam Gase hired, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
But then Eric Bieniemy, who does he want?
He should be the coach of that team next year.
Eric, the Chargers should hire him, honestly.
I feel like the Jets would go college for Trevor, though. Maybe that's just my feeling. I feel like they would hire someone from
hire Dabo.
No.
I don't think Dabo gets paid too much.
It'd be like Brian Kelly. or like Lincoln Riley if he wants to leave, Ryan Day.
These college coaches are like, Matt Rhule does not look great. Like, I got to be honest, you know, he was the front runner for the Giants, and I kind of wanted them to hire him. And he brought in Joe Brady from LSU. They do not look great. I don't know.
Another team, Tanking Wall for Trevor. They could – actually, no, not Tanking Wall. They won, but – I mean, yeah, they're definitely primed to get one of the secondary guys. Like, I think it's going to go one Trevor, two Fields. That's my hypothetical opinion right now. But they could wind up – if they don't get that number two pick, they could get, like, a J.D. Lance, who's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, don't sleep on Fields either. I mean, this could be one of the best quarterback classes we've seen since, like, RG3 and Luck, like, but pending RG3. Like,
well, I mean, he is – Trevor Lawrence is the best draft prospect since Andrew Luck. I will say it right now. That's not even a question. And we called Andrew Luck the best prospect since John Elway. So
Peyton Manning, I think.
Peyton Manning and John Elway. So
yeah, and then so on to – some predictions of a couple of games for next week. Let's start off with Colts-Bears.
The Colts are 2-1, and this is like one of those weird games where the teams are actually good.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we want to cover that, Kyle? It's up to you.
I think it's an important game. I mean, the Bears are 3-0, and the Colts are 2-1.
I literally, for some reason, just went through this whole episode thinking the Bears were like 0-3 for some reason. Yeah.
The Nick Foles on this team is so weird to me.
Played well.
Yeah, he's Nick Foles. He's a backup.
He targets Anthony Miller. Targets Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
I might need to make a trade.
I think the Colts win this one just because I think the Bears are not good. And I think the Colts have more talent on their team. But also, we might see a little bit of a Foles-ian miracle thing here.
I got the Bears. I just think it'll be funny if they're 4-0. It'll be absolutely hilarious.
Sorry for my bad preparation. Do you know where the game is?
Does it really matter at this point?
I think it's at Soldier Field. If it's at Soldier Field, it's windy. You know, I could see a late game pick to lose it for Rivers. But if it's at home, I'm going to take Indy. I'm just going to take Indy anyways. I think they're a better team.
Yeah.
Look at who the Bears have played, the Lions, the Giants, and the Falcons. It's not a pretty crop. So I think the Colts are going to be able to run the ball on them. What, you know, the Bears have struggled to stop the run. I think Jonathan Taylor has a good day, and they win the game.
And then next – let's see what other games do we have that are interesting. Chargers Bucks could be interesting. Oldest, what is this, the biggest QB age gap in NFL history?
I don't know, man. People have played Josh McCown. Rookies have played Josh McCown. I think that has to be the biggest.
Yeah, no, listen, here's what's gonna happen. It's gonna be semi-close, like heading into like the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth, and then
Phillip Rivers is
one turnover leads to another for Herbert, and it's going to be like 27-13 or something. Tampa Bay is hitting their stride defensively. They look great. Shaq Barrett had a great week last week. NFC Defensive Player of the Week, Devin White, linebacker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm taking the Bucs in this one.
I think more important story is going to be, does Herbert play well enough in this game to stay in the starting role? Because
yeah. I think though Taylor is going to get it, and not even out of play, just out of like courtesy, based on like what happened to him.
Yeah, but also I want Herbert to start. And then next, what else do we got? Browns Cowboys could be a good game.
I mean, it's really dependent on the Browns here. We know
the Browns were 2-1. To be honest,
of beating bad teams and incapable of beating good teams. The Browns are a bad team. So this game's on Baker Mayfield. They're going to have to abandon the run once these Cowboys receivers get going. Cause I give props to, the Cowboys. They have some good skill position players. The Cowboys are going to be up in this game. Can Baker Mayfield finally get Odell going and take advantage of this bad Cowboys secondary?
Odell has been ruled in for this game. So that's a big boost for the Browns.
40-31 Cowboys. That's my score prediction there. High scoring.
The Cowboys here also.
Kareem Hunt is still questionable. So.
Yeah, I don't think Hunt's going to play, which, it doesn't even matter really for Kyle in fantasy because the Cowboys are only good when it's a winnable game. Like, seriously, no. Like, you look what happened in week one against the Ravens. Chubb was getting the work, and the yards per carry wasn't bad. But once you're down by a certain amount, you have to pass. And that's why the Browns suck, because Baker Mayfield is not a great quarterback. So we'll see if he can get going this week. But, you know, if they're winning, sure, that means Chubb probably has had a great game. But, yeah.
And then next we got another weird matchup between two teams that I don't think are good but are. Bills-Raiders. I think the Bills win this game easily, honestly.
I think the Raiders win. I think they bounce back. Obviously, their run defense is a little concerning. Singletary had a great week last week, and Zach Moss is returning off injury. But it really, at the end of the day, I think the Raiders just figure out a way. You know, this Buffalo defense is a little bit overrated. The Rams kind of picked them apart in that. Even though they didn't win, they put up, what, like 28 points, and it was like a second-half comeback where they kind of crumbled. I think Buffalo hasn't had a real test yet. I still like the Rams. I just wouldn't consider it a big test. And not that the Raiders are better than the Rams, but I think the Raiders are a gritty team and they find ways to get wins. And they beat New Orleans at home. I think they play this game close and they figure out a way to win.
So what are you considering their first test, I guess, the Bills, to be the Chiefs or the Titans next?
Yeah, I think this is their first test, actually. It's tough to say, really, because I'm just, you know, crossing myself over here. But I think it's a tougher matchup for, you know, on the road.
I think it's more this stretch.
The Rams, if that makes sense. I don't like the Rams on the road, really, against anyone, especially good defenses. But that's just me.
I think the seven-game stretch for the Bills is just going to be really telling on how good or how bad they are.
Yeah. Once they start to play real competition.
Yeah. So, Jada, who do you got?
I'm going to take the Bills here. I want them to get the hype up before they play New England, before we destroy them.
And then next we got Falcons-Packers, where the Packers might drop 60, 70.
Yeah, I think the Packers, you know, steamroll this game. Like, Atlanta could surprise me and make it a close game, but I just can't in my mind, like, give Atlanta my vote of confidence just to embarrass myself, so I'm not. I'm going to take the Packers here. And a little off topic, but the days of the Booger Mobile are – over, and I actually really enjoy this Monday Night Football new, you know, crew. Really, like I like Steve Levy, you know, and Lewis Riddick is great as well. So, I props to ESPN for finally getting it right.
Yeah, and I'm gonna take the Packers here, but this is smelling a lot like the Cowboys Seahawks game we were previewing last week. So, I'm just gonna say it's a little closer than we expect on this one.
And I think that's going to do it for our episode today. Thank you all for listening. We will see you all next week to talk about week 4/5 of the NFL season. So in the meantime, take care. Enjoy some football.